Over the last 9 years, one of the common themes that I've said during my time in my ministry here at Arbury Road has been that we're a church that looks forward and does not look back. And today I am starting my final sermon series here at Arbury Road, and I couldn't think of a better message to continue to say as I draw to the close of my ministry to that I've said throughout my ministry, and that is that as we follow Jesus and as we prepare to be a church that follows him wherever he might go, whether that might be through a time of transition and pastoral vacancy or whatever it might be, I want to encourage us to continue to be disciples of Jesus who look forward together to see what God is leading us into rather than looking back from where we have come. So over the next few weeks, we're going to look at how we might look forward together as the church draws into this time of transition. And this morning, we're going to look at the book of James and how, as we look forward together, we need to be disciples who pursue the way of wisdom together, because God's ways are wise ways, and we can always place our trust in him as we follow his ways. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to read God's word, and then we're going to have a little bit of a think about what it might mean for us together this morning. But let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the God of all wisdom, that as we see your wisdom, as we know your presence with us, Lord, we can place our trust in you, because you alone are the source, are wise, and we can always trust and depend on you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the wisdom that we have within your word, for the wisdom that we can know of you through the presence of your Spirit. Lord, would you prompt our hearts? Would you prompt our minds? Would you guide us and inspire us to know more of you as we look at your word together now, that we might be a church that continues to look forward to all that you are leading us into, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As a minister and church leader, you're expected to be someone who is very wise. I don't know whether I measure up to that or not. Hopefully, over the last 9 years, I've been able to share some of my wisdom with you. And I hope that that wisdom has in some way been a blessing to you. But I also recognize the limits to my own wisdom. Some of you may well know the limits of my own wisdom. If you still had any further doubts, just a quick conversation with Rachel and you'll very quickly find that there are great areas where my wisdom can be fully developed further, shall we say. But this idea of wisdom, I think, is a really interesting one for our current day and where we are placed as a church. We are here this morning gathered together in the great city of Cambridge, a city that is known the world over for the knowledge and the wisdom that is contained within it. As a church, we are entering into this time of transition, and one of the keys to looking forward and navigating a time of transition well is by pursuing wise ways. You don't wake up this morning and think, do you know what, today I'm going to do really foolish stuff. Some of us might, but it tends to end up as a bit of a car crash. The wise thing to do is to pursue the way of wisdom. But the question is, we can often think that we're in the city of knowledge and of wisdom in Cambridge, in Cambridge here. But are knowledge and wisdom the same thing? As we look at this passage together, we're going to think a little bit about what it can teach us about how we might pursue wisdom and knowledge in a way that helps lead us further. So before we go any further, we're going to read the Bible this morning, and we're going to look at James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18 together. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to those now. Alternatively, the words will be up on the screen. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is full of pure, it's first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. We are living in the midst of the information age. We have so much knowledge at our fingertips. If you ask me a question, I can whip out my phone, have a quick Google, and have a good chance at getting the answer right. And you'd think that with all this knowledge at our disposal, we might have the world might be a smarter and a wiser place. Because surely, if we are getting more knowledgeable, surely, therefore, wisdom is also on the increase. If we carry this logic forward, if we're becoming a wiser and smarter world, then surely this means that the world around us is also getting better. Because wise people making wise decisions means that there's a better world in which we live. But yet we live in a world that many of us, I'm sure, will see is possibly darker and more divided than we've ever seen it before. A world full of war, famine, inequality, political instability, and future uncertainty, all rife around us. We have this great privilege of living and worshipping in Cambridge, this city that is known for knowledge the world over, for wisdom the world over. And yet this city, with all its knowledge and wisdom, is the most divided city in the UK. This week I was at the hustings that were hosted by the Church of the Good Shepherd and the Food Bank, addressing how in this city that is full of all this wisdom and knowledge, we have some real social basic issues that are a real challenge for our city and our society. The town and gown, central Cambridge, that everyone knows around the world, is often very different to North Cambridge that is right around us here at Arbury Road Baptist Church. This morning, as we look at this passage, I want to suggest that as we follow Jesus, we might need to recalibrate our wisdom. As we are a church that looks to the future, we might need to recalibrate our wisdom. We live in a world where we have all this knowledge, but could it be that amongst all the knowledge, we've lost track of the way of wisdom? James, who wrote this letter, was well known and respected for his wisdom. In fact, this whole letter of James is an attempt to share the wisdom of James with the wider church. And so we're going to think about how we might recalibrate wisdom as we follow Jesus and as we look forward as his church together this morning. So James starts this passage by asking a simple question. Who is wise among you? Who's wise amongst us here today? Now, I don't know how you would answer that question, but I think within all of us, there is a part of us that would like to think, yeah, I'm quite wise. I've got something I can contribute to that. I am a wise person at Arbury Road Baptist Church. I think we would all feel like that. But then James hits us with the second part of verse 13. Show it by the way you live. Show it by our good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Now, we could probably spend a good amount of time just unpacking this statement alone this morning, but the main point that I want to make this morning is that wisdom is not just something that is seen on paper. Wisdom is not seen in what we think about ourselves. Wisdom is seen in how you act. If you want to see who is wise, don't look for someone's qualifications. Don't look at their experience. Don't look at how they speak. True wisdom is seen in how we live. Intellectualism is a huge gift to have. I am grateful that there are many people in our world who are much, much smarter than me. That is great. People with minds that I could only dream of having. But being an intellectual doesn't necessarily mean to say that you are wise. Rachel and I, from time to time, enjoy sitting down and watching the TV show Taskmaster. Has anyone seen Taskmaster? Yeah, there's a few fans here. If you haven't seen Taskmaster, the basic premise is that they gather a group of celebrities and comedians together and they set them some tasks. Some of these tasks might be quite simple tasks. Some of them are a bit more complicated. But all of these celebrities are actually really quite smart people when you get to sit down and listen to them. But what is brilliant is, as you set them these tasks, they make some absolutely ridiculous decisions. And as they make these ridiculous decisions, it makes for some great comedy TV as you sit and laugh at all the decisions and the situations that they get themselves into. Wisdom is not seen in what we know, but it is seen in how we live. When we are wise, our life is good to those around us. When we are wise, we are a blessing to others. When we are wise, we don't just think about our own interests and our own reputations, but we want to bless those who are around us. Often those with knowledge can be lifted up and placed on a higher pedestal. And don't mishear me, I'm all for honoring and recognizing people for their gifts and for their achievements. But wisdom is not seen in pride and honor, but it is seen in humility and service to others. When we have knowledge, it can be so easy to flex our intellectual muscles, to try and point out the faults in other people's arguments, to try and impress with how much we know. When we're knowledgeable, we can try and win the argument, but that's not the way of wisdom. Rather, the way of wisdom is good deeds done in humility and service to others. This morning, as we're a church that looks to the future, can I ask this same question that James asks of us here at Arbury Road Baptist Church this morning? Who is wise amongst you? And if you are wise, how are you going to show it? When you look for wisdom, what is it that you are looking for? Could it be that today we need to recalibrate our understanding of wisdom and look beyond the impressive and instead see the humble? Could it be that we need to look beyond the smart and see that which is good? Could it be that we need to look beyond the knowledgeable and see those who are willing to serve? As the church prepares to enter a time of pastoral vacancy, what are the voices that you are going to be listening to? What are the voices that you're willing to speak into the church? As you look for a new minister to come and serve the church here at Arbury Road, what wisdom are you looking for? Who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let them show it by their good life and by deeds done in humility. Having encouraged the church to recalibrate their understanding of wisdom, James then also encourages us to recognize how God's wisdom is different from the wisdom of the world around us. It's worth noticing that throughout this passage, James doesn't tell us how to be wise. He doesn't tell us if you want to be wise, then you need to go to school and work hard. He doesn't tell you that if you want to be wise, you need to go and pass all your exams. He doesn't tell us that if you want to be wise, you need to go out and earn a job and get some life experience. He doesn't even tell us that in order to be wise, you have to be a theological, go to theological college and become a Baptist minister. That's not what wisdom is. Wisdom does not emerge out of what we do, but rather out of who we are. Wisdom is a character trait that is grown and developed within our lives. It's not a life skill that we learn from a textbook. So the question is, what is shaping our character? If we want to be wise, how do we invest in our character that we might be wise in the way that we live? Ultimately, in verses 14 to 16, James tells us about two different sources of wisdom, two different ways that we can shape our character. In verses 14 to 15, we're told about worldly wisdom, wisdom that does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. This kind of wisdom is demonstrated in a life that is full of bitterness, envy, and selfish ambition. In other words, it's the complete opposite of the vision of wisdom that James has just outlined to the church in verse 13, and one that I'd hope most of us would not want to pursue. Having talked about this worldly wisdom, James then moves on to talk about a greater vision of what wisdom might be, a vision that doesn't come from the world, but that is heavenly in its nature. When I think of this kind of wisdom, I think of King Solomon. And if you don't know who Solomon was, he's recognized throughout the Bible as being one of the wisest people within it. Solomon started by just being faithful to God. In 1 Kings 3, we're told that Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given to him by his father David. If you want to think about how can we be wise, let's just start by living out that verse. By showing our love for the Lord by walking according to his ways. Because Solomon was faithful to God, one night God spoke to Solomon and asked him that he would give him whatever he asked for. And just take a moment to consider that question. If God was to come and speak to you today and say, do you know what? You've done well. You've been good. You've been faithful. I'm pleased with you. Ask for any one thing and I will give it to you. What would you ask for? Maybe you'd ask to have a bit more money so you could live a little bit more comfortably in life and not have to worry quite so much. Maybe it'd be nice to have a new job so you can raise up through the career ladder a little bit more. Maybe it'd be nice to have people love and respect you for who you are a little bit more. Maybe you'd like to have your children obey you and listen to you from time to time. Maybe you'd like to pray for peace on earth and something noble on a grander vision like that. Or maybe you'd just be happy with England getting through to the next round of the Euros. But what would you ask God for? But Solomon, in the midst of having all those different options open to him, went a different way. Instead, he says to God, God, give your servant a discerning heart and govern your people, to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. And we're told that the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this wisdom. And so God gave Solomon what he'd asked for. And we're told in chapter 4 of 1 Kings that he gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Wisdom is not defined by the world around us, but it is a gift that is given to us by God. And because wisdom is a gift from God, we need to remember to ask for it, to pray for it if we are to pursue it. This wisdom is radically different to the wisdom of the world around us. When the world around us tells us to retaliate, heavenly wisdom tells us that we turn the other cheek. When the world around us tells us to keep, store, hoard, Jesus tells us to give generously to those instead. When the world says, look after your own interests, Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. There are two ways of wisdom. Which one are you going to choose? James asks us, who is wise among you? Show it in how you live. But he also asks us to consider, what is the wisdom that we value and hold to? Do we value and appreciate the wisdom that the world values? Or do we value and pursue the wisdom of heaven that God alone can give to those who ask him for it? As we look forward and prepare for a time of transition as a church, as we follow Jesus individually together, how might we recalibrate wisdom that we might embrace the wisdom of Jesus as we follow him as his disciples? How might we ask God to give us the gift of his wisdom today? And what might he ask us to do that in the world's eyes would be seen as totally foolish, but in his way is the way full of wisdom that can be trusted? James tells us that this recalibration of wisdom is essential for the church as we follow Jesus. The wisdom that is from God is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, impartial, and sincere, and it results in peace. If we then contrast this to the wisdom of the world, it's obvious which one is better for all God's people and for all people, regardless of whether they consider themselves God's people or not. But this is more important than just proving that we are right or doing the right thing. Godly wisdom makes us effective in our mission as Jesus' disciples and in his church. As we are wise, peace is made amongst people. As we that peace then in turn leads to a harvest of righteousness as the kingdom of God advances amongst us. If we want to look forward together, this is why pursuing wisdom is so important. James himself was known and recognized as someone who was a peacemaker. We don't have time to look at it in detail today, but when the early church was in conflict, James was the one who spoke up and brought clarity and wisdom that they could all unite behind. When the early church faced challenges and questions, they turned to James for guidance. Not because he was the know-it-all, but because he was wise in the advice that he gave. The way of wisdom is one that unites and doesn't divide. The way of wisdom holds what we think in tension with what others think. The way of wisdom looks beyond what we think and looks to how we can follow Jesus together as his disciples. It's the way of wisdom that unites the church. It's the way of wisdom that equips the church to go forward in its mission. It's the way of wisdom that helps us to worship Jesus together. It's the way of wisdom that inspires the church in its mission of making the good news of Jesus known to all people. It's the way of wisdom that grows the church and pleases God. So James asks the church, who is wise and understanding among you? As the church looks forward to this time of pastoral vacancy and beyond, as we follow Jesus in our own individual lives and all that lies ahead of us, will we follow Jesus and pursue the wisdom that he gives to us all? May we not mistake our knowledge and our own achievements as being wise, but may we ask God or seek God and ask him to reveal his wisdom to us. Where differences of opinion exist and when disagreement erupts, may we not just try and win the argument, but may we be wise and find a path of unity that we can then all follow together. And in all we do, As we recalibrate wisdom, may we demonstrate our wisdom in how we live. May we be disciples of Jesus who are good and humble, that we might be a blessing to those around us, especially in this polarized world in which we live. Let's pray together. Who is wise and understanding amongst you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Lord God, we thank you that you are the source of all goodness and wisdom. And so this morning we once again humble ourselves. We look to you again and pray that you would lead us forward. We thank you for the gift of wisdom that you offer to us all. And Lord, we pray that just like Solomon, we might pursue your ways, and that as we do so, we might honor you, please you, and know that as we place our trust in you, you will never leave us disappointed. Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for this church. As we look to the future in all that lies ahead of us, would you lead us in the way of wisdom? May you continue to reveal the wonder of your goodness. As we place our trust in you alone, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.